If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Hebrews chapter 6 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about washings and laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For ground that drinks the rain, which often falls on it and brings forth vegetation, useful to those for whose sake it is also tilled, receives a blessing from God. But if it yields thorns and thistles, it is worthless and close to being cursed, and it ends up being burned. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here, so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. Our needs are as unique as we are. Our struggles, the challenges, the blessings, the questions. But we've all come to hear from you today. So take your word, take your servant. May we handle it accurately. Communicate it clearly. May you teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we open up chapter 6, the author is at least initially focusing on the writer's Jewish readers, especially those who've been listening but have not made up their minds. Today we call them seekers. They're investigating. They're wondering about what we call the gospel, the good news, the rest of the story, the New Testament, the finished work of Christ. They're Jewish, so they know their Old Testament. They are, many of them, just by virtue of their education, have memorized the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the law. They know it intellectually. But they see a conflict in the gospel. The conflict, we will see, is not just in the content, but in the way the law has been taught and interpreted, making it difficult for some to hear the gospel. So the command to these Jewish seekers, press on to maturity. The challenge in verses 1 and 2, leave the elementary teaching. But look at this list. Leave this, the elementary teaching about the Christ, repentance, faith, instruction, laying on of hands, resurrection, eternal judgment. We're supposed to leave all of that? Well, remember the context For instance, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ. He doesn't say leave the elementary teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is significant. He's saying think beyond the Old Testament. Think beyond what you've been taught about the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer. You see, they not only have the challenge of understanding the law and the promise of a Redeemer, they now have centuries of rabbinic teaching that has completely redesigned what Israel's looking for in a Christ. They're looking for a political leader. They're looking for a military leader. They're looking for another David. They're not looking for someone to die for their sins. They've got a whole temple that takes care of that, they think. So open up your heart to understanding who the Christ, the Messiah, is. Leave the elementary teaching about repentance from dead works. That's that whole sacrificial system. Was it valid? Absolutely, God gave it to Israel. What was it for? To take away sin? No. It was to make people understand that the wages of sin is death. And the way we repent is through the gifts of all of these animals and all of this blood flowing, because the wages of sin is death. But every sacrifice had to be repeated because people were continuing to sin. And the sin question was not finally dealt with. Think beyond that, he's saying. And faith toward God. When people speak of their faith, and when people speak of their faith toward God, you've got to ask them what they mean by that. It's not just a matter of thinking in terms of, as the Old Testament emphasize, there is one God. But now, through the lens of the New Testament, truly understanding who God is, go beyond. Go beyond, grow up, mature beyond the Old Testament. A great place to start, but not the end. Who is God? Well, he's the Father. He's the Son. He's the Holy Spirit. We see glimpses in the Old Testament. The New Testament makes it perfectly clear. Move beyond the basics. Laying on of hands. What is that talking about? Well, that's those sacrifices again. Do you really think that when you lay your hands on that lamb, that ox, those pigeons, that bull, that that's the last time, that that's the end of your sinning and dealing with sin? Absolutely not. It was a start to help you understand the ugliness of sin, but it wasn't the finish. Missed one, didn't I, Jeremy? Instructions about washings. And this is not the word for baptism, particularly. This is a more generic term about washing. And all of the regulations that some of the rabbinic teachers added to the law. Remember, the Pharisees took Jesus' disciples to task about washing? It wasn't because they didn't understand to wash their hands before they ate. It was they weren't following all of the rules. Rules that aren't there in Scripture. Rules that have been added. Oh, maybe, as some thought, to protect other rules, but still not there. Don't be a rule keeper, just to be a rule keeper. That's legalism. Grow beyond that. resurrection of the dead. These last two, let's put them together. Resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Because while they're there in the Old Testament, there's not a whole lot of information. Whether we're talking about believers or unbelievers within the Jewish community, they pretty much understood that we all go to Sheol. We all go to the place of the dead. They had come to understand that in that place of the dead, there seemed to be two destinations, one much preferred over the other. But that was about it. And when it comes to resurrection and what that means, that was so confused, not in Scripture, but in the rabbinic teaching, that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was absolutely unexpected, which made it all the more wonderful, because he had told his disciples that's exactly what he would do. And if you read parts of the Old Testament carefully, you'll know that the prophets said that was exactly what he would do. Now we understand much better what it means for a believer to die, to go immediately into the presence of the Lord, to look forward to a resurrection and a new body, a new heaven, a new earth. All of that we get in the New Testament, the rest of the story. So he's telling his Jewish friends who know the Old Testament well, you only know part of the story. Go the rest of the way. Verse 3 says, if God permits. Because you see, both service, sharing the gospel, sharing the rest of the story, both service and salvation must be energized by the Holy Spirit. So whether it's the messenger, the evangelist, or whether it's that Jewish fellow who's listening and thinking and wondering, could Jesus of Nazareth be the Christ, the Messiah? The only way that message goes out clearly, remember, handled accurately, communicated clearly, the only way that happens is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Anytime I accomplish that, it's not because I have been so doggone well trained or because I have put so much effort into it, both of which might be true from time to time. It is only because it has been energized by the Holy Spirit. And if someone responds, again, it's not because he's so awfully intelligent or he's so awfully good or he will fit in so wonderfully. It is only because that choice is energized by the Holy Spirit. So even the writer, as he's encouraging them, come on, move out of the Old Testament into the new. Take that foundation of the old and come on into the rest of the story. He knows that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he challenges them then with the present opportunities that they have had. First, they have been enlightened. They've heard the gospel. They've been in meetings, a synagogue where Paul taught till he got kicked out, a Riverside gospel meeting where Paul or Timothy or Titus or Silas or one of the others taught, or a ladies' group, or some of those great women of the New Testament shared the story of Jesus. You've heard it. A light has come on. Are you paying attention? You've tasted of the heavenly gift. You've heard the gospel clearly. Somebody has taken the time to sit down with you. And if you're Jewish, and the evangelist is Jewish, he can start in the Old Testament and bring you into the New Testament So you see how well you fit as a Jewish believer. How well you can take what you thought to be all of God's Word, the Old Testament, moving you into the New Testament, which is the rest of God's Word, and how well it all goes together. You've tasted of the heavenly gift. You've not accepted it, but you've tasted of it. You've partaken of the Holy Spirit. You've been in meetings where you've seen the work of the Holy Spirit. You've seen somebody come in who looks like he's not all that bright, but he has so clearly presented the gospel, shared his own testimony with such clarity that you know it's got to be something beyond him, and it's starting to register in your mind, and you know that's not where you thought you were headed, so something is happening. And then others testify to the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives and what God is doing in their lives. So you've partaken of the Holy Spirit. You've been in those meetings where you've seen evidence of the Holy Spirit. You've tasted of the Word of God. You've heard Scripture clearly presented. Wouldn't you have loved to sit in on some of those early messages of the Apostle Paul, where he'd crack open Isaiah or wherever and end up telling about Jesus? And just looking at the eyes of those Jewish folks in the synagogue, never heard this before. Never heard anything like this before. And yet he's teaching it out of our Bible, out of my Bible. And he's filling it in, telling us the rest of the story. And the rest of the story in no way contradicts the beginning. Is it right? Maybe you've tasted of the Word of God, and you've tasted of the powers of the age to come. All of those stories about what we understand now of what happens when a believer dies. And they were dying regularly, just like we do today. Accident, disease. But there were also those dying for their faith, who courageously stood up and said, I would rather die sharing the testimony of Christ than live denying him. They were dying. And those stories were being told. And they were understanding that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. To take a breath here and take the next breath in the very presence of God. And all that God has planned then for his people, Jew and Gentile alike. Now here's what's important, or else we'll misunderstand verse 6. All of this is a reference to those who are still seeking, still thinking, and have seen so much good evidence. It's to them then this warning comes, a warning to those who walk away. They're not walking away from their salvation. They're walking away from the offer of salvation. Very, very important. If you don't understand that, you will misunderstand not only this portion of the book of Hebrews, but much more to come. They are not walking away from their salvation. They're walking away from the offer of salvation. Because he says then, it is impossible to renew them to repentance. Why? Because they've taken up the position of those who crucified the Son of God. They've taken up the position of the Pharisees. They've looked at all of this and they've said, if it's not of God, it has to be of Satan. And remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees, those who had all of this knowledge, those who had all of the evidence before them. You look at everything that Jesus has done, and you come to the conclusion it is the work of Satan. Jesus says, there's no getting over that. Once you have consigned the work of Jesus to the work of Satan, you stay in that, you persist in that attitude, you take up the very same position of those who crucified Jesus. You don't do that again. You've denied the finished work of Christ. And so he's saying, be careful. Don't walk away. Continue to seek. Continue to look. Continue to learn. Continue to understand. Move closer and closer. Press on to maturity. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't write it off. The closing illustration. Rain falls, producing useful vegetation. That's God's blessing. Remember the parable that Jesus taught. The soil that was properly tilled, seed went in. Not only did it germinate, it grew, it produced fruit. Genuine salvation. That same rain can also fall on the ground, and the result, thorns and thistles, no fruit. A curse. That's the challenge to the Jewish readers who are sitting there in church listening to a Jewish pastor share of his faith in Christ and inviting his fellow Jews to consider the claims of Jesus of Nazareth. You're sitting here, you're thinking about it. Make sure you don't make the wrong decision. The challenge then to Gentile readers, similar. You may think you've heard it all. You may even think you know it all. But until you make it personal, it's not real. So make it personal while you can. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled this accurately, because I know this is key to understanding. I know there are brothers and sisters who fear losing their salvation, who fear being tempted to walk away. That just isn't what this is talking about. Too much of your word speaks of the security that we have in the finished work of Christ, not in the finished work of me, but in the finished work of Christ. But until we make that decision, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter what we know, it doesn't matter what we think. The matter is the choice that we make. Will we recognize Jesus of Nazareth as your Son, God Himself, our Savior, the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? Until we do that, we are in jeopardy of eternal judgment. But once we make that choice, judgment is taken. Eternal judgment is taken out of the picture. And our eternal destiny with you is secure. May we all leave here this morning sure of where we will spend eternity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.